Welcome, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the April 22nd board meeting. I hope everyone's well and your families are well. Maybe next week or next month we'll see you, but other than on screen. Let's get started. We'll have, can I get a motion to accept the minutes and approve the agenda?
I move to accept the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, and I'll go through the list.
Hold on a second. Who was the second?
Who was the second?
Dave Erie.
Okay.
So Cecilia approves.
Okay, you ready? Okay, we'll go through the motions to accept the agenda in the minutes. Okay, Richmond? Ron?
Is
he on here? Maybe he's not.
He's on here.
Ron, can you hear me?
Ron just barely arrived.
Okay. Do you accept the minutes and the agenda? Okay, check and see. Oh, he's got an X or his thing. Is that?
Yeah. Maybe come back to
him. We'll come back to Ron. How about Smithfield?
Aye.
Hyde Park?
Aye.
North Logan?
Lloyd's not on.
Oh, Lloyd's not on. Okay. Abraham? Abraham Verdes?
He might be doing it through chat.
Oh, is he doing it through chat? Okay. Oh, yeah, he is. Okay, there he is. Okay, and Cecilia, was he doing it through chat?
Aye.
Okay, aye. Thank you. Dave Geary?
Aye.
Glenn Schmidt?
Aye.
Jeannie Simmons? Is she on?
I thought she was on.
Ron just said he's going to be calling in because his isn't letting
him. Okay, Jeannie? No, I don't see her. We'll move on. Lyle Lundberg?
Jeannie was here, man.
Yeah, I thought she was on.
Okay, how about Lyle Lundberg? Do you see him on? Maybe he's not on. Patrick Jenkins? Is Patrick? He's up there. Yeah. Patrick? I wonder if they're having trouble hearing. Sue Sorensen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Patrick said aye.
Okay, Patrick. Okay. Lee Aaron Millville? Oh, she can't hear anyone yet. Lee Aaron? Gregory.
I'm here.
Okay. Are you a yay?
Yay.
Thank you. Jeff Turley. Okay, Jeff. His shows his off. Elaine Thatcher.
Aye.
Thank you. And Sean Bushman.
Aye.
Jeff Turley said aye.
Okay, Jeff Turley.
Go back to Lee Aaron.
Okay, Lee Aaron. Lee Aaron.
She was here a second ago.
Yeah. She's off.
Can you go up to the gear?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I think some of the people have their computer audio turned off, and they don't know it, so tell them to click that gear icon.
If your computer audio is not working, you can click the gear up at the top next to the chat feature and go over and select computer and make sure the computer audio is on. So Jeannie's back.
Okay. Jeannie? I can neither hear nor talk. Okay.
Again, if you're trying to use the computer, go up to the gear and there's a phone and a computer section. Try to select computer, make sure the computer audio is on. If that's not working, then you can click on the phone and dial in and try that.
Okay.
I finally got connected. This is Ron Vitale.
Okay. Do you approve the minutes and the agenda, Ron?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, is it just Jeannie? Jeannie, can you hear me yet? Okay, she's...
Yeah, there's a down arrow.
How long did Mike leave? Problem is Mike Arnold, he was there. He was working.
Can we call it?
You can.
Okay. I think we've got a majority vote, so I think we'll move on. Is there any discussion for the minutes and the agenda?
She's not going to be able to hear anything, so she's going to call them with her
phone.
All right. Okay, our next meeting is May 27th, 2020, and we'll move on to item number 5, board business, a quarterly service report.
She won't see it?
All right,
so we'll move on. Oh, and I don't have that up on the screen. I apologize.
I can help Jenny if she wants. She can call me.
Yeah, if you want to talk to her, you guys can. Okay, let me hear him pull this up. Okay, let's pull this up and then.
No, hold it.
What's that?
Folder. Here in the April 1st.
Oh, thanks. Okay, packet. Just one second, we're getting to the board report, the quarterly service report. Okay. I'm going to share screen right now. Okay, so hopefully in front of you, you have. The quarterly service report. We'll come down here and look at 2020. So you can see that if you look at just the total ridership number here at the top, I'm circling that. You can see for January we had about 130,000, a little over 130,000 trips. Anyone have audio issues?
Jeannie says she's still having trouble.
So, okay. Thank you, Abraham, for putting in the phone number. Thank you. For February, about 125,000 trips, and then for March, 75,000 trips. If you look just right above in 2019, you can see that this is slightly down for January and February compared to 2019, and then obviously it's down significantly for March. Again, about March 13th, I want to say, somewhere in that. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I need to hit record. Hold on 1 second. I forgot to hit record. But about March 13th, around that time, March 10th, was when the coronavirus first really started impacting things. People were told to stay home. And then we started slowly moving towards more and more requirements related to that. And so we did start to see that significant impact related to the coronavirus. So again, you know, I think this is what we've been seeing as far as ridership trends. We're going to talk about that specifically tonight with the ridership analysis. You can also see here scheduled trips for those of you that are new on the board. This is a quarterly report, so we look at several things, ridership per hour. So this number here, again, 21.87 for January of 2020, ridership per hour. That's saying on every given hour, on every bus, the average is 21.87 passengers per hour. So that's a number that we like to track. It gives us a productivity number. Scheduled trips are the number of trips that are scheduled during the month that were scheduled to be run. Missed trips would be a reason that we would miss a trip. For example, if we had some type of maintenance failure, we deal with weather, specifically in January, February, you're dealing with weather a lot of times that would cause us to miss a trip. And so you can see that percentage of missed trips. Late trips, again, just to clarify, we changed that definition last, I believe, November. Late trips are now anything that departs the transit center later than right on time, the top or bottom of the hour. So again, you know, if it's 30 seconds after the top of the hour, that would be a late trip. So again, we may have routes that are impacted because of congestion, traffic congestion, or other things that would leave late. But again, if you look at that percentage-wise, you know, you're at 98 or higher percentage of trips that are departing on time. Wheelchairs loaded. We track wheelchairs loaded because of the impact it has on schedule, and also just so we can see how many folks are out there with disabilities, which is a good thing for us to track and understand. We want to encourage people to use the fixed route bus system, that if they are using a chair, we don't want to discourage that in any way. However, we do want to understand that, so if there are things that we can do to make that better, you know, or they're making sure that there are stops where folks are using a wheelchair, making sure those stops are accessible, so that our buses can provide service there. Passenger assist is anytime someone is asking for the lift to be deployed, not the lift, I'm sorry, all of our buses have ramps. So anytime someone is asking for a ramp to be deployed, so it may just be someone that that can't step up into the bus. It may be someone that has some balance issues and they feel more comfortable on the ramp. But again, we want to track that so we can see how much those are being deployed from a timing standpoint.
Can you help Jeannie?
I'm sorry.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're great. Again, hopefully they're dialing in at this point if we're having problems. Bicycles, you can see that, again, as we get into the warmer months, we do see bicycles increasing dramatically, but honestly, 1,100 bikes, you see that's up slightly from last year. So again, we have a biking community that do use the bus frequently. And then we get down into the number of miles we travel. Maintenance majors, is again, anytime we have a maintenance situation that causes the bus to be more than 5 minutes late or miss a trip, and so you can see this here. Missed passenger trips, again, if we're coming in and for some reason we're not able to make that connection, then that's what we track as far as missed passenger percentage and missed trips percentage. And then down here, Colloride is our paratransit service, so you see our ridership on paratransit. So that's just a quick overview for, I know it's a little bit more detail for some of you who've been on the board for a while, but for those of you that haven't been here, you know, if there's any questions, please put them in the chat or you know, let us unmute your mic. I'll give you a few seconds here or a few minutes to look and see if there's any questions related to that. We're gonna go into a little deeper dive on some analysis here in a minute. Any questions? How do I get back to see? I guess I don't need to see them, but. All right.
No questions?
No questions. We'll move on to the next thing.
We'll move on to ridership trend analysis.
Okay. So now I'm going to share my screen and share a different thing.
There was a question.
Was there a question?
Oh, there was a question?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Who had a question?
Elaine.
Oh, Elaine, go ahead with your question.
It was under the chat.
Oh, I see the vehicle miles are higher in March. Can you explain? Let me jump back to that, Elaine. I apologize. Okay.
Is that just because of a new route?
Yes, that the loop route will have some impact, but we started that first part of January, so it's going to be more of a impact on the number of days operated. So when we look at vehicle miles, you're looking at several things. So obviously we operate more miles on a weekday, so the number of weekdays in a month will have an impact. The number of Saturdays in a month will have an impact, and I'd have to pull up, I think March probably has 31 days, so it probably has an extra weekday in there. Is what I'm thinking. That is.
That helps, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, great question. Thank you, Elaine, for that question.
Oh, there's Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie's here. Can you hear us, Jeannie?
At long last, yes.
There you are.
It took forever to figure it out.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know why you didn't just do it.
I don't know either. We had our own problems on this side, too, so I apologize.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Okay.
Okay. We'll move on to ridership trend analysis.
Okay. So we're going to try this with applications, right? Okay. There we go.
Nope, you can hit. You can.
Now can I hit present?
It's covered up by the chat window. Just drag that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But I want to see the chat window too so that I know if somebody has questions. Okay. Here we go. All right. So we're calling this the bell curve of ridership and investment. And hopefully as we go along, we'll create some questions. This really isn't anything for the board to take action on. This is more just for information and maybe some discussion. So I hope that this raises some questions. Would love to have questions as we go along or at the end. And that we can have some discussion here. And I know it's hard doing it through this medium right now. But again, I'll try to watch the chat window. Feel free to jump in, and we'll try to go slow. And please interrupt if you have a question, or save it till the end. Write it down so you don't forget. So we kind of want to explain some things that we're doing right now with ridership analysis. And believe it or not, this COVID virus has actually given us an opportunity to do some analysis that we've had indicators in the past, and we've looked at this, but this has given us some really good data to analyze as we go through this. So one of the things that we do is we look at a lot of things to do this analysis, and one of those tools that we've used in the past and that we're hopeful the board will use as well is a voter survey. So just again, for those of those folks that are new on the board, for the last several years, we've done a voter survey. And the last one that we did was in 2019 during September, the week September 17th through the 24th. So we hired this firm, FM3 Research. They did a statistically valid sample size within the service district, within our service boundaries, has an error rate of plus or minus 5%. And so you can see here, we did this in 2013, 14, 15, and then again in 19. So from this voter survey, we see a couple things. One, we see that there was, and if you can see, the dark blue is very accurate, and the light blue is somewhat accurate, and then the pink is somewhat inaccurate, the red's very inaccurate, and then you have no opinion. So what we see is that bus service can be a lifeline for seniors and people with disabilities or who otherwise have few travel options. And then the zero fare offers rides for all. You can see that those two things had extremely strong support. The voters are saying, hey, we actually really appreciate that it's zero fare because it offers rides for all, and we see this as something that really helps the seniors, people with disability, and people with few travel options. And so what we see is that is consistent with what we've seen with ridership, especially as we've entered this phase with COVID, where we've actually here in the last month really encouraged people to not ride the bus unless it was essential travel. And we actually told people that are 60 and older, stay home. And so you see that we have about 1,000 to 1,300 trips. That's kind of where we're hovering right now. Really are these folks that rely on transit, the disabled, seniors, and people that really don't have access or have very few transportation options. And so we've had these indicators in the past, but we're really seeing this as we've encouraged people to stay home. And this is really for only essential travel, we're telling them to come out. And so we see that variability somewhere between 1,000 and 1,300 trips a day. Any questions at this point? I just want to make sure I'm going slow. If there's any questions. Okay. So if we continue on in this survey, we see that local buses are a big help for local parents who can rely on them to get their kids safely to school and other activities. And so again, you see there's some strong support here. About 78% of the folks are saying this is somewhat accurate and very accurate for this thing or for this type of thing. And so again, when we look at the schools, so if we look at USU and then the K through 12 schools, that's about 3,000 additional daily trips. And so you see that again, this corresponds with what the voters are saying, that they see this as a benefit. Again, we have a lot of single parents, or we have two parents that are working outside of the home, that their kids are involved in after-school programs, boys and girls clubs, things of that nature, and the regular school bus doesn't meet all of those needs. And so for us, while we can't provide school bus service, so that means by federal law, we're precluded from tailoring our routes to meet the school bus needs or to meet the school's needs. We do try to, we recognize that the schools are a major trip generator, and we're trying to reduce congestion. So if you go by a school when school's in session and you see a long line of cars dropping kids off, we want to impact that. We want to give people the opportunity rather than having to take their kids to school in their car, or for those kids that have to walk within the 2-mile radius, that they're able to access our services. And while we may not perfectly meet the school schedule, we try to operate service that's open to the public, and the schools are a destination. Okay, any questions here? Okay, so moving on to the next set of survey questions here. Public transit improves air quality and public health by taking cars off the road. Public transit reduces air pollution by taking cars off the road. Again, strong support here from the voters saying, hey, we see this as a benefit. This is a good thing. And again, you know, when we had the representative from FM3, they said these are really high numbers. They don't typically see this for transit. So this is really good. It shows our communities educated. But so again, we see another about 1,000 trips that are from folks that are what we call environmentally conscious. They're riding the bus because, hey, they want to impact the environment in a positive way, and this is a way that they feel they can. And we have folks that are saying, hey, you know, I want to save a little bit of money, so I'm going to choose to ride the bus. And so we get about 1,000 trips a day under that scenario. Then we have these other external factors, such as the unemployment rate. When fuel prices reach a certain threshold, when they're higher, then that causes people to shift to transit. And that's a variable number based on these external factors. And so, when the unemployment rate gets to a certain point and we see people starting to lose their jobs, and so they're saying, hey, I've got to find a way to reduce my expenses in my household, transit provides me that option. It's zero fare. I'm already paying the tax. I might as well use that. So people transition that way. When fuel prices hit to a certain point, we see a transition to public transit there as well. So Elaine has a question. The questions indicate to me that the questions are more about awareness in public rather than support. Let's go back and look, and that's a great thing. It could be that you could be right in lane that there's some awareness there on public transit's ability to impact air quality. I'm not saying the survey results. Go ahead, Elaine.
Just looking at that question, they're reading these statements, and then the person being surveyed is asked to say whether they feel each is accurate or inaccurate, and that looks to me like awareness more than actually registering support.
That's very, very good, Elaine. That's correct. And to Abraham's question here, does that translate into number of trips? I'm not, thank you for the clarification. I'm not trying to say this translates into trips. What I'm just saying is we're seeing that there are some congruencies and the public's awareness, and maybe in some cases it's not support, but just awareness. We see that play out in just what we see sometimes in overall ridership and this bell curve that we're talking about, that as you get wider down on the curve, it really is more about people making choices rather than people having a limited number of transportation options or being disabled and this is their only option. So this curve, it widens to more transit choices, and there is some awareness by the voters on that. Yeah, I'm not saying they are exactly the same. Cecilia, what effect do you think low gas prices and high employment will have on mass transit? We're going to get to that. In fact, Cecilia, since I asked that question, we'll just go to this chart. So I've been tracking this since 2007. This 2007 is when we brought things under CBTD, under this umbrella. So in this number, you can see the black numbers with the dollar signs is the price of fuel during that given year, the average price of fuel during that given year, and the white numbers are the unemployment rate. So I think it's interesting to see, you can see when fuel prices and unemployment start to both creep up, we see ridership go up. When it's just high unemployment but low fuel prices, then it doesn't necessarily creep up. But again, as they start to both move up, then that causes us to have higher ridership. And so you can see during our peak of 2012, we had a fairly high unemployment and we had a fairly high fuel price. And in these 3 years here, 2011 through 2013, that was the case. And then all of a sudden, fuel prices started to diminish, unemployment started to get lower, people started to become employed, we saw ridership going down. And we're going to come back to this slide in a minute. We're going to kind of talk about how this might impact us going forward. But and again, there are other external factors, and that's what we'll talk about. But these are two we've tracked, and they really seem to have some impact on ridership. Great questions. Any other questions at this point? Okay, so again, this question, if the bus came more often, I would be more likely to ride it. And if the bus were more reliable, I'd be more likely to ride it. So again, here we see that it's not so one-sided. There's a lot more here of less commitment. There's a greater increase now of this is very inaccurate. This isn't going to change the way I get around, and then we have a lot more of, I don't know what my opinion is. And again, this is where we get into these tails of the curve. And again, it's not that they won't use public transit, it's just, it gets much more difficult for us to attract people out of their car. And so how this translates into investment is from a standpoint of what we're looking at when we're really trying to make a decision from an investment standpoint is being more in the meatier area of the curve, which is, you know, these areas here where, you know, how do we provide transportation? Where do we provide transportation? And not just transportation, but other things that support transportation. The apps that we use, you know, the frequency that we provide, those types of things. We're looking more at this target audience in the meatier part of the curve, because as we get down into these other parts of the curve, the amount of investment that it's going to take to really pull someone out of their car becomes a lot more, and we see a diminishing return on that investment. The number of people that we're actually going to pull out of their car are less. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Again, if everyone in the Valley rode the system, we would break it. It wouldn't work. And so it's just really understanding that and saying, okay, what's the right investment so that we meet the board's goals of providing that connectivity for people during, you know, employment and medical and civic opportunities. What's that right mixture? So questions, any other questions at this point? Okay, I want to come back to this chart for a minute, because I think this is important for us to look at. There's another underlying thing here that I think we can talk about. And that's something that we're just now starting to have discussions on this related to COVID. We're right on the beginning of this, but we're looking at disruptors in society and in our industry. And so over here, 2018-19, we see similar numbers. I'm sorry, Holly, you can't see that, but we see similar numbers in unemployment rate and fuel costs to, say, 2007 maybe. But the ridership isn't back up to 2007 numbers. And so, you know, have you think about what's different there? What's different in 2007 than 2018 and 19? And some things that we've studied that we think have made that change is 2007 is really when the first smartphone came into the existence. And it was much different than the smartphones we have today. Amazon wasn't in existence. Amazon wasn't delivering groceries to your door, wasn't delivering things in 2 days. And so people still shopped and did a lot of other trips through public transit. And then as we got into these years of high unemployment for our valley and high fuel costs, Amazon was just really starting to be developed. It really wasn't what we see as today. And so now you look at 2018-19, and specifically now we're into 2020, where we're actually being told, stay home, find other ways to shop. You know, you can't go to a restaurant. You can go pick up the food, but then go eat it at home. We're really seeing that we're trying to analyze what is this new world that we're operating in, how is that going to affect ridership, and then how does that affect our maybe design of future service. And so we are discussing now maybe future service isn't having a large bus go through every neighborhood. Maybe it is really an on-demand response, more of an Uber type situation where it's not Uber exactly, but it's more of that feel of maybe we will pick up in a certain community in 3 or 4 different points that you might have to walk 2 blocks to, but the bus will be there kind of on demand. You schedule that trip through your phone. It will tell you when to go be at that bus stop. You go be at that bus stop and you get on a smaller bus, and that bus maybe has 5 people on it, so you can socially distance. And then that bus will take you to, again, another point that's close to your destination you want to go, but you may still have to walk 2 blocks. But that trip's a much more different feel. Now, again, these are things we're talking about. Again, some of the things that make this possible is the computer technology and smartphone technology has advanced to the point that we think this might be viable. The reason I bring that up is I think ridership will always be an indicator for us, something we should always track. But I don't think it should be our sole thing, and we've had this discussion before. This is the loop, if you will. This is the loop route. And this is some of the software we use in planning and looking at service design. And so what I want you to look at is we have this now looking at within a 0.25, a quarter mile of the bus stops along the loop route, that provides access to 10,000 jobs. We're providing service to poverty population that's 36% of it that's below the poverty rate, 19% minority. You see 6.6% seniors. We have 8.6% of the population that have no vehicles, 38% that only have 1 vehicle. And so we're able to use some of this software to really maybe start targeting in on how do we design service a little differently. And again, part of this was used in designing the loop, which we think is highly effective. And we're not saying that the loop or some of these backbone services like the service from Lewiston to Hiram on the main route would change. That's probably going to need to stay there, that backbone service, that connector service, but it's that inner community. So how I get around in Smithfield or how I get around in Providence or Hiram, that may change. We may be able to do this more on-demand type of service. And then if people want to go from Smithfield to Logan, that on-demand service could take them and connect them to that backbone service that would then put them on a bus that would bring them into Logan. So these are some concepts we're looking at. Again, we're just throwing this out there of there's other ways to measure the district's impact in the communities that we serve. So Jeff has a question, are other similar size and type of transit districts having same problems due to COVID? Yeah, so that's why that's a great question, Jeff. That's why we're looking at this. This really is a national thing we're seeing, and we're starting to see transit systems really rethink their service design related to this. And part of this is we're trying to forecast when we come out of this COVID thing, what does the future look like? And so it's really too early for us to say for certain, hey, this is where we're headed. We're just telling you that not only are we looking at how do we manage the current system and the current employees and the current type of service delivery, but what are other options out there and how do we look at those, and how is society going to look when we come out of this? So we're talking to lots of people. I was talking with Lloyd Berenson, our board member, just earlier tonight, saying, hey, Lloyd, give me some ideas on what you're seeing. How is this looking? When are we going to come out of this? What will that look like? And so we're just trying to gather information at this point, trying to analyze things as we've had this opportunity to sit back and look at really who's impacted, so that we can start making some evaluations. And a part of that, we are talking to other systems across the country. I have a phone call tomorrow with Scott Bogren, who's the National Association Director. He's in touch with agencies all over the country. I'm wanting to see what he's seeing. And obviously we will reach out to other agencies of our size directly and talk with them as well. But just wanted to give you that kind of flavor of some of the things that are going on in the background while we're managing through this crisis and looking to the future. So again, any other questions? That's kind of really the end of my presentation, unless there's other questions.
No. Okay, we'll move up
to the next one.
Yeah, we'll move up to numbers to see transit apps and websites. Abraham wanted some information on this, and there's some new board members that probably would like to have this. So Fulmer will take care of
that. So before I turn it over to Colton, Colton's our network administrator, and he does a fantastic job. He's going to walk you through the apps. But again, this comes back to that investment. There's a lot of different options, and he'll kind of go through some of those. We've made some selections based on what we think is the right investment for the ridership, and so we'll turn it over to Colton and let him do that. I gotta turn him over as the presenter, so give us a second here on that. Okay, so now I gotta go over here. Come on. Right here, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, are we going to see your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So, we're going to open up. Let's see here. Hello, everyone. So, we have an app that we've partnered with where we kind of provide the data, and then they take it, develop the app. I mean, this actually is an app not really necessarily developed for us, but it's developed across, I don't know, they have a lot of companies transit companies that they run this app for. And we just give them the data and then they populate it into their system. So you can actually use this app in, like, as you travel from town to town to town, as long as they support it. So this is let's see if it loads up, there it is. So this is the app, they call it Transit, kind of a simple name. But this is our system right here where it's pinpointing exactly where I'm at, and right off the bat, it wants you to say, like, where do you want to go? Or you can kind of scroll down and look at the routes that you're closest to. Let's see if it loads here. There we go. So these are the routes that you're closest to, your exact location. and how far away, like, you know, 8 minutes away from that stop, you can hop on it. But what this app is really good at doing is just putting exactly where you want to go. So say like you want to go to the Logan Lee's, say the Lee's Marketplace, so I want to head there. And it automatically goes off of your exact location, or you can change up top here, the top address there that says 750 West. You can change it to your home or if you're planning a future trip. But it goes directly off and kind of tell you, like, if you want to ride, you know, the fastest ones up at the top, you're going to have to walk a little bit. You're going to leave in about 2 minutes is what it's predicting to hop on. That's kind of small, so it's hard to see which route that is, Route 9. So that one's going to have you hop on Route 9. It kind of has a wait symbol for you and gives you a breakdown of how long it will take and what stops you'll be paying attention to and where you need to cross over. And you'll get off there at the across from the Convergys, and you're about a 4 minute walk to Lee's. So that is the quickest one at the top. Down at the bottom, it goes from longer to like how much longer it takes, as well as if you want to just walk the entire way, it estimates, or bike, or if Lyft is available, which there is right now, it tells you how much it costs and how much it would estimate you could take a Lyft if you really wanted to. Which that means there's actually a Lyft going on right now. Because that won't come up unless there is a Lyft nearby you that's running. Because this integrates with Lyft and Uber also.
So is there any way we can see you? Yeah, we don't have a webcam, Genie, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, sorry.
We can do that for next time, mm-hmm. if we have to do this again.
So if you select that first one, for example, and it kind of shows you the route you're going to be taking to get there, and you click go, it's going to immediately now tag that that's what's taking place. The bus is going to arrive in at 7:10 at this stop right here. It will tell you that you need to start walking. It takes like now, pretty much, because it takes about 17 minutes to walk there. And then it will give you a breakdown of how long it takes. And if you actually minimize this, it will notify you, like, hey, you need to leave soon, or your bus will be arriving soon there at the top. And if you're done, or you're done with the route, you can just hit stop and it will stop tracking the route that you're wanting to go on. Now, if you're wanting to just manually, you like to just look exactly what's going on instead of planning your route, you can still click the route you're wanting to go on and it'll tell you where the bus is at. It's kind of hard to tell. Let me zoom in on here. It will say right there, it's saying that the bus was last seen on the app 15 seconds ago. So that's a pretty accurate location of where the bus is. As well as it will kind of tell you here, like this one says 1 minute. So it got a data point about a minute ago. So it could be a little bit past that point or not. So that's if you want to manually look through it. As well as it kind of gives you, again, it goes off my location. So it's telling me my closest stop is right there at the Zions Bank from where I'm sitting. And that the bus will be there roughly within 21 minutes. And that is a prediction based upon traffic and everything else. It has an algorithm that it tries to predict that with. So that's all I had for this one.
One thing, can I just clarify? When you hit the go button, Colton, right? So it will tell you if you have your audio turned up, it'll actually say leave now or whatever. It'll talk to you, right?
Yeah, it'll talk to you.
And then when you're on the bus, it'll actually say you're get off at the next stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll actually tell you. So you don't have to be an expert at understanding our system. It'll really guide you through that.
And you can see, like on the app here, you have to turn on, like you can turn on more of the accessibility information to where it will actually announce stops, but that's more data that we're pushing through. As well as if you prefer to walk a little bit more or walk less, you can adjust all of that in the algorithm for it to predict what you're doing. So that's, as well as there's alerts at the top. I forgot about that. So we can post whatever we want there at the top for alerts of what's going on and different stuff with our system. So we'll close out of that.
Are there any questions related to this particular app before we move on? Okay. Oh, hey. What's the login for the app again?
Oh, the login.
It's called Transit.
It's based off your location. So if you're actually here and just type Transit either in Apple, the Apple Store or the Android Store, it will be the, here, I can actually show you the logo. It will be the green, right there. It will be that green logo right there at the center that says Transit. And that's the name of it. And it will, it really only pops up if there's, on the app, if there's a system near you that's using it.
Yeah.
It's based off your location.
It won't say Logan or anything like that, because
yeah,
it is a national thing.
Yep.
Holly and I used it when we went to Washington, D.C. to see when the next subway was. I mean, it's really nice that way.
All right, let me go back to the website here. So this is our website. I don't know if all of you have seen it or been on it before with your phone, but this is what it looks at on your phone. So we also have some tools on here to help plan out your rides or just understand the system. Aside from looking at the routes and the schedule, you can run the Plan My Ride, which is actually powered by Google using that same data that we provide to Transit. And here you put the time that you're wanting, like if you're wanting to leave right now or leave at a certain time or whatever, and you put down like you're wanting to go from a house in Smithfield to USU, you want to leave right now, get me there the fastest and hit plan my ride. It will automatically move you to Google and open up Google Maps. And it kind of tells you, well, your only option right now is to walk to the Sinclair in Smithfield and ride Route 15, and it's estimating about 41 minutes is what it will take. When you click on it, it, let's see if it loads there, it does the same thing, kind of shows you the route as well as how long it should take for you to walk through, get on the bus, and when you would arrive. It's not quite like, it doesn't run the predictive like the Transit app does, but it is based upon our schedule that we provide. There we go. And then it shows the stops also. That's what all the white dots are.
Does it show the bus moving along or not?
No, it's not. That requires the real-time GTFS feed.
So this one does not show a bus moving along like the Transit app does.
Go back to our homepage. So another tool that we have on the homepage is Next Bus, which if you're actually at a stop and you're just wondering when the next bus is gonna come, you can hit, you know, it's a Route 7 and you're at stop number, well, it tells you the address as well as the stop number and you're at the golf course. It'll tell you that the next bus will be there at 6:39 or 7:09, or you can scroll forward to see when the bus will be there next. So that's another tool you can use if you're just at the stop and you're just curious when the next bus will be there.
Any questions? Cecilia, what is out there to let the public know about these apps and how to use them?
So on our website, you can go to, right, I think it's under Weather Tools.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not loading those.
Oh, there it goes.
There it goes. So on here, you can go to our website and you'll see Bus Tracker. And this will show you some of the tools that we have. The Transit app is the one, which if you click that, it'll take you right to what you can use. Right now we have these two other ones that we're working with right now. These are actually developers that go to school up at USU, and I'm working with them right now just giving them our data, and they've kind of provided the CBT tracker and Logan Transit. Right now the Logan Transit one and the CBT tracker one's actually not opening for me today, so I'm trying to find out what's going on with those. As well as this is the CBT tracker, this is the Android, this, the same one, the Transit tracker is the same as CBT tracker, just for Android, and then Logan Transit's the same person also. As well as there's information on here on how, wait, where's that? I gotta go back one more. I can't see.
Okay.
What did that say?
Yeah, we'll answer it.
Okay.
What are you looking for?
Oh, yeah. So I'm just trying to read that from here. So is the next bus tool advertised at the stops?
Yeah.
It is. And actually, if you you pull up your phone and scan the QR code, it will immediately take you to the next bus as well as display when it's going to be there.
Every bus stop has a yellow sign on it that says bus tracker. And then it has the QR code that Colton's talking about, so that the people can access the apps. It's on every single bus stop. And then Jeannie asks, have we adjusted this for the changes in service?
Yes, we have. There's a few kind of nuances here and there, but it's pretty accurate. It's been adjusted for the changes that we have made. And then on our website, if you're a developer, we also have an area for them to get in touch with me and get our data feed so they can produce their own app or whatever they want to do with that.
We also have on the buses themselves cards that tell people where to go to get the apps. And then we have paper maps as well. And on the paper maps, it tells them how to go get the apps as well. So Abraham, I was getting different results on transit versus Google when planning the same trip. Do you have any comments? Do you want to address that one?
Oh, so for Google, I post a GTFS feed that is posted to Google for them to pull from. They kind of choose when to pull from that. That's kind of up to them when they want to. Transit, on the other hand, I communicate directly with them and give them the latest. So they both have the latest, but sometimes Google can be delayed until they pull directly from where I've posted it.
Okay, second part of that. Also, how does the efficiency of the routes planned by the two systems compare to someone with the knowledge of a system planning? I can understand that. I don't understand. Also, how does the efficiency of routes planned by the two systems? Abraham, maybe you need to, I don't understand the question. Do you understand the question?
Like, are you asking efficiency on how well they function with the data I'm giving or on the actual usage of the apps?
Maybe unmute and ask the question or retype it.
Oh, my phone went spot. That's the end of what I'm showing on my phone anyway. So.
Abraham, can you explain the second half of your question? Can you hear me?
He might be typing it.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully Abraham's typing the question. Any other question? Okay.
Oh.
I'm trying to unmute. It's lost my call. Darn it.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. You there, Abraham? Where is he?
Oh, there he is.
Serious?
No one's talked in a long time.
Oh.
Try again, Abraham.
Abraham says he tried to unmute and lost his call.
All right. I just called back in.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Between my phone and the conference online. So my question was, if I had a hypothetical trip, let's say I'm a student on campus going to Crum Brothers, and I put in the same route in transit, the same route in Google, and then I asked a friend who knew the bus maps and the route system, how much more efficient or less efficient would be transit and Google versus, right, Todd, who clearly knows the buses in and out, planning a route?
I'd actually almost say that the transit or Google might be a little bit more accurate, because it will have the information if there's a detour or that stop might not be being serviced right now. It will have that information probably a little bit quicker than maybe someone that knows the route. They might not know that stop is on detour, so you can't stop there anyway.
But
I'm not necessarily real time planning, but right, some of the routes when I tried to plan them using these tools, right, for example, one wanted me to walk, 40 minutes to 600, 400 and 600 up by campus to collect the loop from my house. That didn't necessarily make sense to me, right? So I'm wondering if the goal, right, is presumably to use these tools to grow ridership, because while the existing rider base is obviously important and needs to be protected, they already know probably the routes they're going to take. Whereas someone who's a new user, how efficient would it be for them to use this as a route planning tool?
I think most of the time it's going to be as efficient. There are some nuances we've discovered where sometimes the planning tool will tell you to go an outer direction because of the way the GTFS feeds them information. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and also with the transit app, I've actually had this question a few times with some people that have used it. When you first install it and turn it on, it actually defaults to so there's a section under settings where you can click to say less walking, for example. So it kind of, technically that was the fastest way, because was to walk 42 minutes, then hop on it and run down. Otherwise you would have had to ride a bus for a little bit longer. And what I mean by faster is 1 minute it will recommend walking, unless you have changed in the settings that you prefer not to walk as much, and then it will always put you on a bus, even if that bus, it gets you there, but loops you around a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Thank you. I appreciate it.
But I will say, Abraham, these apps aren't perfect. I mean, for someone that is using the system day in and day out, you probably are going to find ways to be a little bit more efficient. If you have a set schedule that you're trying to run and set destinations, if you're wanting to use the system and just go hop on the bus and not have to live by a schedule, I think transit's going to really help you, because that prediction is going to tell you in real time, fairly real time, where that bus is. I took my car the other day to get the emissions done on it, and I had a meeting up at the university, and so I pull up the app and it told me where to go, and it told me within a couple minutes, and I went up to my meeting, came back, same thing. And so it just depends. I would say most of the time it's going to work, but yeah, there are probably times where someone that really knows the system, yeah, they're probably going to outdo the computer. I think it's fair.
And I would say that's similar to the drive, like Google Earth or Google Maps, when you use it for driving. We grew up here in this valley. We might know a faster route than what the Google Earth is telling you, but you still get a better idea, if that makes sense.
But great question. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for the answer. I really appreciate it.
Other questions? Those are great questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, we'll move on to item 6, General Manager and Staff Reports, and update on the COVID.
So, again, this is very fluid. We're hopeful that here in a couple weeks, things will start to open up a little bit. And that was part of my conversation with Lloyd, just trying to understand what might happen here in the future, so we can kind of talk about a transition plan and how we would go about that. But one thing to note is you've probably heard a lot about CARES funding. And so just to make you aware, the district has been awarded about $5.3 million for in CARES funding for operations, costs associated with cleaning vehicles, getting supplies, protecting employees, you know, really all costs associated with operations related to this. So we're in the process of working with the FDA to develop a plan of how we would use those funds and draw down those funds. You know, and those funds really don't have a timeline. They do want to get them obligated fairly quickly. But part of this too is lost revenue. They want to protect us against lost revenue from the economy being on pause. So again, that's something that we'll be working with FDA, with our region office, to figure out how we can use that in the most efficient way going forward. So I wanted to make you aware of that. Again, we're still where we were, at the first of the month when you guys supported the decision to reduce service. And so until the health order changes, that's what we'll continue to do. But we'll continue to work with the health department, monitor that, and as things change, we'll transition as necessary, and we'll keep the board informed as we work through that. That's really it as far as the COVID update, unless there's questions.
Todd, I have a question.
Yes.
What is $5.3 million in relationship to our annual budget?
Our annual budget's about seven. So, I mean, this really does give us about a year's worth of operating, if you will. And that's kind of part of the strategy there, Jeannie, is that we would use this, and this is 100% funding. I didn't say that. This is 100% funding, and so this really allows us to maybe set aside our local funds, our local sales tax. We can use this to run the operation for a year and put that sales tax money to some other use that doesn't have some of the strings attached that the federal dollars do.
Did we apply for this money?
No, so the way that the CARES Act works is it's kind of like the formula money. This is all based on our formula. So we have what they call 5307 urbanized formula money, and there's a formula that allocates so much money per year to us, and they use that formula to allocate this money. So this was something that was given out to transit systems across the country, and this is our allocation.
Okay.
Other questions? That's a great question. Thank you.
Jeff has one.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah, going back to the possibility that you would maybe start running more small buses, are there enough in the fleet now that we could do that without purchasing more of those buses? And then what would happen to the large buses? Do they do okay just sitting if we have to take some of them out? I just don't know how that funding might be able to help as you look at the possibilities for the future.
So yeah, just to clarify, thanks for the question, Cecilia. Again, we're not talking about doing this tomorrow. We're still trying to analyze what's the right approach. This would be a plan of how would we transition, meaning maybe we would not purchase large buses on the next purchase. Maybe it's a year from now. I mean, this is really, like I said, this is early on. I'm just trying to tell you we're looking at these things. But to answer the question specifically, no, we don't have enough small buses right now to do that. And it's never good for a vehicle just to sit. So again, this would be part of a strategy of how would we transition our bus purchases in the future. Also to your question, yes, this $5.3 million, we can use it for capital. And so that's also part of what we're looking at is, would we change the bus orders that we have in the near future? And so those are all things that we're analyzing. So great question. Jeff asked a question, do you have to pay back the funds? No, these are federal funds that were part of the stimulus package that the Congress authorized. These are funds that are allocated to us as the urban provider here. And they're just FTA funds that come our way. We don't pay those back, no. Great questions. Other questions?
Okay, should we move on to 6B, update on grant, facility grant application?
So we mentioned this to you. We're in the process. In fact, tomorrow is the day that we are going to submit our grant application requesting funds for a new facility. So regardless of whether what type of service delivery we offer, whether it's big bus, small bus, a mixture, whether that mixture changes, whether we transition to where we're using smaller Sprinter vans, all of these types of things, we're going to need more space over time. We are beyond capacity here. We have the vehicles parked out in the elements. They're not under a canopy. They're in the travel lanes. They present safety hazards. We've talked to the board about this many times. But so we purchased that property back in 2010. You know, this was part of the board's strategy to have a facility. There's a pot of money that the feds put forward, you know, almost every year, really. And this was pre-COVID-19. I mean, this was just regular operations. It's what they call bus and bus facility money. And this is the program. This program has about $450 million allocated to it. It's a national program. We have to compete nationally with all the other systems. And this isn't by size. I mean, we're competing against, you know, UTA, against, you know, New York Transit, whatever. But so we're applying for funds through that program that would build a facility, or hopefully if we got the funds. As part of that application, we have to put in their different scalability. And so we put in there three different options of what we could do, a minimum option, and then if we got more funding, different things that we could do with that facility as far as building that facility. Again, just want to make you aware, we're again, this is something the board has allocated the local match for this for the last 10 years, set aside that. We definitely would need that local match. This grant would do 80% would be federal, 20% would have to come from the local match. And so again, I applaud you that you've set that money aside that allows us to actually make this application. We're hoping, originally the application was supposed to be in by March 30th, but because of the COVID thing, they extended it 30 days. So we actually have until the 30th to apply, but we've been told to apply early because, you know, the system could get bogged down towards the end of the month. So we'll get that application in. They had originally told us we might know by June or July. So I'm going to reach out once we submit the application and see if we can get a date. But I'm assuming that, you know, we're looking at August, September as when we would know if we were successful in getting any portion of this. So we may get all that we asked for, or we may get something significantly less than what we asked for, and we may get nothing. But we'll keep the board apprised as to what we find out as we go along. I just wanted to make you aware of that. Any questions?
Can I say something?
Yes.
Are we spending any time or energy on the optics of us proceeding to build something when our ridership is going down with the community? Because I think that's going to be an important part of whatever happens here.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, I would say that we've got some really great letters of support in reaching out on this. The county gave us a great letter of support on the project. Logan City gave us a great letter of support on the project. Mayor Daines, Bear River Association of Governments, the Health Department. So we have been in contact with several agencies talking about this. And, you know, I think this is similar to the reason that Logan City, you know, built a building several years ago to house their garbage trucks. Why the county is currently building a facility to house their road equipment. It's the same thing for us. We're trying to bring these vehicles indoors, get them out of the elements, make it so that the system's more reliable. And again, one thing that I think that helps garner some of that community support, Jeannie, is the fact that this is transit money. This can't be used for any other function. We're not taking money away from other parts of the community. And so I think that's what's helped us garner that support. So to answer your question, we've reached out to several of the elected leaders and sought letters of support, and they've been gracious enough to give those letters of support. Great question.
Any other questions?
Craig
Wright just put on good luck and thanks to you and the staff for working to get this application gathered and submitted. Thank you, Craig. Okay, we'll move on to number 7. I don't have anything tonight, so are there any other questions? If we don't have any, thanks for your patience. It's been kind of awkward at times, but we appreciate you sticking with us. We'll see you May 27th, hopefully in person, but maybe still online. So be safe and have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, bye.